So over these next 7 weeks, we're going to be with myself in person, various other people in person, and some people on screen, going to discover more about what the Bible actually means. So if I had a Bible here right now, and I haven't got a physical one, but I've got my digital one, and if I held it up to you and said, what does it mean to you? I would get loads of different answers this morning. Now, I grew up in what I would call a God-fearing household. It wasn't a household that was actively promoting faith. I was not going to church at all. And I came to a decision to follow Jesus at the age of 18. Now, in that decision, there were lots of things that moved me towards God. I didn't have one of those lightning bolt moments that many people do have. But actually, probably most Christians, I don't think, have those lightning bolt moments. Perhaps the closest for me was on a road called the A149 in Norfolk, right by where Prince Philip had an accident, actually, fairly recently, a few years ago. You may remember that news story. Well, I did too. It didn't involve him. He wasn't there. But it involved a deer and a very near miss. Four people sat in the back of my mini metro. No rear seat belts in those days, so don't please blame me for that. That was the law. We were allowed. But there was a very near miss. And it just made me realize something. Jesus wasn't there in that moment. He didn't reveal himself. That wasn't a lightning bolt moment where Jesus came. But it revealed to me a deeper need for something of purpose and meaning in my life. It was probably a wake-up call to where my life was heading. And most of us probably don't have those extreme stories. We sometimes like to call those stories in church testimonies. And we hear testimonies, and sometimes it feels like there's a bit of a competition for how bad things were. You know, we measure the interest in a testimony over often how low somebody went. And often that's understandable. You know, we love stories. And of course, we love the miraculous, and we love people being lifted out of the depths. And those stories are amazing and wonderful. But if I ask most of the Christians in this room, is that their story? It may not be the case. It may not be as dramatic. You may have had moments of drama in your life, but you may not have had that lightning bolt. But you know, whether you've had an amazing testimony or story or not, or a more sedate journey, perhaps like me, towards faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we are all part of an amazing story. This book tells me we are all part of an amazing story. And it's a story that carries on today. And in this series, we're going to understand our place in that big story. So even though I didn't get that lightning bolt moment, what I did get was a deep longing for something more, to be part of something bigger. And that, for me, sparked an interest in the Bible, and the Bible started to come to life for me. And I hope this series will help the Bible come to life for you if it hasn't already. And I know right now in our society, in our individual lives, in our families, these are uncertain times, and there are huge challenges ahead. And the pandemic is only one of a multitude of issues that we face in our communities, in our city, in our nation, and our world. And even if we try and ignore the news, which, believe me, I have so tried, and we try and ignore the world around us, in our own personal lives, there is often turbulence. Some of our dreams and our ambitions may have faded. I could probably guarantee that everyone in this room has, if they're totally honest, at least one regret in their life. We may have had significant people let us down. But in the midst of the turbulence of the world, in the midst of the turbulence of our own personal lives, the Bible, the big story of God, is the thing that is certain and unshakable. And for me, it also makes those big issues of life much clearer. I've been taking my glasses off so much at the moment with these masks and back on again. And if I take them off now, you are just a sea of blur. But when I read my Bible, things become clear. When I put my glasses on, things become clear. And the Bible makes those big issues of life clear. So this series, for some of you here and for some of you online, may be a place where you're checking out the Bible for the first time, and you are so welcome. For others in this room, you absolutely love and adore the Bible, and you're loving the focus that we're going to have over the next couple of months. And you love saying phrases like, I love the Word, I love the Word. And I love the passion that some people have for the Bible, and I wish more people had it, because our world would be so transformed if people had a passion for the Word. And some of you can't wait to dig into the truth of the Bible in a deeper way. For some, you may be overwhelmed by the prospect of the Bible. You know, it looks good and you want to get started, but it feels like such a big and complicated book. So we really want this series and our interactive midweek extra studies with more reflections and opportunity for questions to be for all of us. This is a series and study for all, regardless of your existing knowledge or of no knowledge of the Bible. And we can't underestimate the significance of this book. The Bible, as you may have done, if you've done the Bible course, you know, is the most read, the most loved, and the most burnt book of all time. It's the world's bestseller. And it's open for anybody to explore. It's not a private book for religious people. It is available to everybody. Praise God for that. It's a limitless source of guidance. It's a limitless source of hope. So we're going to look at what it is. And we're going to look at three things and then introduce you to the journey that we're going to take over the next couple of months. First thing is the Bible is a collection of literature. Inside the cover, there are loads of things. There are books. There are different styles. There's lots of history. There's parables. There's poetry. There's wisdom. There's some very sometimes bizarre visions. Even if you haven't read it, you probably know it's divided into the Old and the New Testament. And the impact that the Bible had on our literature, on our for novels and art, it's had on politics, it's had on music, it's had on sport, is immense. There's a picture going to come up at the moment of a building in London. Some of you may be familiar with this building. There it is. It's the Central Criminal Court of England and Wales. I won't ask you how familiar you are with the Central Criminal Court of England and Wales. It's more popularly, familiarly known as the Old Bailey. And at the top there, you probably can't see it, you may be able to see it, actually, is Psalm 72, verse 4. Defend the children of the poor and punish the wrongdoer. As the ESV puts, may he defend the cause of the poor, of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. So right at the top of our Central Criminal Court of England and Wales is a Bible verse. The Bible has influence in the highest places. So much has been inspired by the Bible. But praise God, it's so much more. And the second thing we're going to talk about is the fact that this Bible forms one big story. This is going to be the main part of our series. The Bible forms one big story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. It starts with a cosmos in mind. It starts with creation. God created the heavens and the earth. And it ends with a world restored to the way it was always supposed to be. And then in the middle of it all, of this Bible, there's a center of gravity. There's a hero. There's a Messiah whose name is Jesus Christ. The one who fulfills the calling of Israel. The one who opens up the story to everybody, to all of humanity, to all peoples. He enters into this world as we have just celebrated. And this morning we still had the Christmas tree up and we were nearly, not quite, and we had to get it moved. But we were celebrating just recently at Christmas, weren't we? The fact that Jesus came into this world and he turns the world upside down. I believe he turns the world the right way up. If everyone else thinks it's upside down. That's how it's meant to be. And the whole Bible, the whole story of the Bible points to Jesus. So this is not just a collection of literature, an amazing collection of literature, an amazing bestseller that is, you know, is at top of our central court building. It is also the whole story. It's one big story. But it's also this, and this is the bit that I sometimes get a little bit too excited about, so don't try to stop me at any point. The third thing that the Bible is revelation. There's mysterious things happen when you read the Bible, when you engage with the Bible. Because you may read this book, but this book also reads you. It reads your life. Now, I've experienced the Bible as a living voice speaking to me and calling to me. I live in Smethwick because of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You can put that verse up if you've got it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The reason I'm here is because of that verse. That verse spoke to me. It revealed something to me. Now, this was preached by a wonderful man of God called Norman Meaton, who brought the Bible to life in such wonderful ways. And God spoke to me and to Beth separately. We were expecting to go and be missionaries in China to an orphanage. And this verse came and it spoke so clearly. It revealed something. We were just blown away. We had to stay where we were to be witnesses to the good news in our Jerusalem. And our Jerusalem was Smethwick. Now, it actually doesn't say stay in Smethwick in that verse, does it? I don't see Smethwick in that verse. I don't know if you've read that verse. But for me, God revealed something. And when we read the Bible, it is a revelation. And it speaks to ordinary people. I'm an ordinary person. I could look around and say, you are ordinary people. You might not like that, but we are all ordinary people. But God reveals himself through the word of God to me and to you. Wow. So it's a book, it's a story, and its revelation. And we're going to unpack these three things a little bit more. So let's go back to this bit about it being literature, this astonishing book, this best-selling book of all time. And it's obvious that it's a book, even if you don't have a physical copy of it, because the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblia, which simply means books. So when you pick up a copy of the Bible, you're picking up a book. We know that. It's a physical thing, or it's a digital thing. You're not just picking up a bestseller, you're picking up the bestseller. You may be familiar with Hunger Games, sold 50 million copies. You may be familiar with Lord of the Rings, sold 150 million copies. The Bible, according to the Guinness Book of Records, has been sold or distributed over 5 billion times. This isn't just a bestseller, it is the bestseller by literally billions. And when you open it up, you realize it isn't just a book, it's a series of books, 40 different authors. And let's be honest, when we sometimes open the Bible and we read it, there are things that seem strange, things that seem unfamiliar, things that seem from a very different culture to ours. And it makes people ask questions, particularly children. I've noticed children ask questions when they read the Bible. Why don't we sacrifice animals anymore? What is a concubine? I'm not going there. How come Jesus is allowed to spit into somebody's eye? You know, those sort of questions do come up. And, you know, I actually love the Bible for actually making us think and raise questions. It makes it far more interesting. It gets the interest of young and old. It gets the interest of those who have the brightest, brightest minds. And actually those who struggle to read. It gets their interest. If you want wisdom, if you want truth and guidance, this is a book. It's the world's bestseller for a reason. And you might be surprised if you dip into it, how relevant it is for your everyday life. I just think about my workplace. And okay, I work not in this church, but outside this church, working with leaders who are trying to build teams to do what we term social action. And that's one of my other jobs. And I could go through a whole raft of verses in the Bible about how the church should be engaged with the poor and the destitute and the marginalized. And if we cut out those verses from the poor, I would have such a thinner book. And I could preach on that for about 3 hours. I won't. Don't worry. But actually, the issue I wasn't dealing with church leaders was that it was about teamwork. It was ensuring that volunteers needed to know that they need each other. And if you go to the Bible on teamwork, you have huge amounts of verses. You could go to Hebrews 10:24 and consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. And Proverbs 27, verse 17, maybe a bit more familiar. Iron sharpens iron as one person sharpens another. Or Ecclesiastes 4:9, where two are better than one, and because they have a good return for their labor. I could go through loads of different things, giving me practical evidence that teamwork is so necessary in every aspect of life. It's a practical book. It's a real book that helps everyday situations. It's also got some beautiful, beautiful words in it. Who doesn't love Psalm 23? Now, I know it's often read at funerals, and it can be read, and we might be fighting back tears when we're reading it, but in the midst of pain, it can often bring such joy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table. I like the word feast. You prepare a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just one beautiful psalm. Scripture, the Bible, has so much beauty in it. It's not just a practical book. It has some bizarre things, yes, but it has such beauty. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, books of wisdom, they're fascinating. Some great stuff in there, some unusual stuff, you know. Dog vomit is in there, and dripping taps, and I won't go into those things again right now. But again, it's fascinating. There's so much to explore. This is a bestseller for a reason, and it makes, you know, in itself, the book is worthwhile to explore. So I just want to just take a short break now, just look at some of the other people's perceptions of the Bible, what the Bible means to them.
What I love about the Bible is it's all about who God is. his culture, his values, his character, his nature. It just tells us what he loves, what he doesn't love. And for me, I love that it's not a book about a formula or a system. It's all about relationship with him. I love that.
I wouldn't call myself a big reader. I don't read novels, but I love reading the Bible. You can take bite-sized pieces out of it. I really enjoy that it encourages you, it strengthens you, it challenges you.
I have found the Bible relatable, living, alive, and mostly speaking directly to me.
What I love about the Bible is how down to earth and how real much of this, or many of the stories that we hear are. How Jesus is eating fish with his friends, he's drinking wine, he's hanging out. And I particularly like the Psalms, where we have these stories, this complete range of emotions, from the highest highs, jubilations, to the lowest lows of anguish and anger and frustration. And that makes the Bible relatable.
I think the Bible brings life because it isn't just a book, it's actually God's book. And so when we read it, it's not just words on a page, it's God's words to us. It's his peace, it's his wisdom, it's his love, which we receive right in the middle of everything we're going through.
In those moments where God maybe feels a bit distant or far away, it's so good just to have the Bible there next to me as a physical resource to turn to and read his word.
The Bible is really relevant today. You know, I was broken, I was lost, I was confused, and I actually picked up the Bible for the very first time, and I read the Bible, and the very first thing that I read was, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future."
I didn't grow up in a family where I had a father figure, but through the Bible I can get to know God as my father, and I get to know who I am as his child as well. So I love the Bible.
One thing I love about the Bible is that no matter how many times you read it, it always reveals something new to you. So for example, you might read something one day, but then the next day it reveals something completely different, or even like adds to your picture. And I think it's amazing because then you can just keep reading it. You never get bored.
Well, it's amazing how the Bible can mean so many different things to different people. You know, look at the fact that it's amazing literature. And we've looked at how wonderful it is. But the main point that we're trying to get across in this series is that the Bible is one story. And we get to be part of that story. So you may read a great novel. I'm like one of those people that I don't read novels, I'm afraid. I can't get into them. It's not really one of my hobbies. I prefer history, biography. I'm so dull, I know. You may watch films and movies, and you often those are adapted from a book, and you want to take part. You want to be in it, particularly if it's on a Greek island beach. You probably want to be there right now in the midst of the story, and you want to be part of it. But with the Bible, you are in it. You are part of this big story. This is not just a collection of religious sayings or a moral code. This is a big story that you can be part of. And although we've mentioned already 40 different authors bringing, you know, things to the Bible over a period of well over 1,000 years, but this Bible all fits together. It's coherent. It makes sense when you bring it all together into one story. It's like there's somebody behind it who's orchestrating it, who's making it possible, who's making it coherent, making it make sense. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That, you know, that line sounds like something we want to hear about. That's something that we want to be part of. It's relevant to every human being. It tells us why we're here. It tells us where we're going. It makes sense of who we are as human beings, what it means to flourish on planet Earth, even in challenging times. So in this series, we're going to discover the meaning and purpose through the Bible. So the next session, we're going to have, not in person, sadly, but Amy Orr Ewing on the screen. She's going to look at the origins and meaning. The Bible beginning at the dawn of time, making sense of our human desire for meaning, because it answers those questions. Why are we here? Why have we come? It answers those deep questions. Then Derek is going to look at Exodus and freedom. You know, the story of the Old Testament, focusing on that nation of Israel. And we'll journey with that nation as they become slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. They become trapped. And we may not feel that we're in a physical prison right now or trapped, but I tell you what, there are people who are trapped right now in anxiety, in fear, in loneliness, in stress, in guilt, in debt. We can all feel trapped at times. So we need to know that the Bible is a story of freedom. It brings freedom. We see Israel escape from slavery in Egypt through the Exodus story. And we're going to find more about that freedom. We're going to look at exile and peace. We're going to look at how even in the darkest period that Israel faced, when they're taken captive, when their land, you know, their land, they're unfamiliar. And so many of you experience it right now of being in an unfamiliar land. And in those times, we think about the hardest questions. You know, why does God allow suffering? Where is God when life falls apart? How can I find peace in the storms of life? And in that moment of exile and peace, we will look at those questions. And then the next part, we meet the hero, the central character, the gravity of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Shows us what God's love looks like for you and for me. And then we get to look at spirit and community. The Holy Spirit coming and filling human beings in a new way. The bit where we get to really come into the midst of this story and we get to be part of the action. Where the Spirit of God joins into the community of God's people. Where we find belonging. Where we no longer need to feel alone or isolated. Where we find purpose. Where we're no longer lost and confused. And then our final session, we'll look at where we're heading. We will look at the amazing word hope. We love that word here, hope. I remember Dave preaching on it just before Christmas. Such a powerful, powerful word, hope. What is our ultimate home? Now, remembering that the Bible concludes with a world restored, with human beings resurrected, ultimate hope to look forward to. So this series is going to take us through that big story of the Bible, not the individual Bible stories, although they are amazing in themselves, but we're looking at the whole big story. And we're looking at connecting this fragile, this uncertain world, our uncertain and fragile lives with this big story. And let's just, I'm going to just finish just reminding ourselves that this is also, again, something that I love. It's revelation. It's God speaking to us through his word. Behind those human authors was a divine author. One verse in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:16, begins with these words, all scripture is inspired by God. The literal translation is that all scripture is God-breathed. This is God speaking to human authors, inspiring their writers, inspiring their words, so that when we read the Bible, we are reading the words of God. He's communicating to us. This isn't some ancient, dusty old book. This is a God-breathed, inspirational book. And this is something we're part of. I have a family history. I have a cultural history of sorts. I have a national history, all part of who I am. But beyond all that, beneath all that, the Bible, God's word, is the story of which I find myself a part. And we get to be a part of that together, whatever our history is. And we are committing ourselves to being part of that big story. Are we willing to be part of that big story? Are we willing to be part of that big story? I'm going to invite Dave just to come up and lead us in a final song. And this song reminds us that we are part of this big story. So as we sing, I want us to sing through these lines of this song and recognize that we are part of this song. We are part of this story. We don't want to be part of some trivial, pointless story. You know, so much celebrity that goes on is a pointless story. Trying to be part of some bigger thing when actually it's pointless. You know, receiving some human honor, and, you know, I will celebrate with you if you get an honor from the Queen. It's wonderful and fantastic. And if my mum is still alive and I get one, which I probably won't, but if I did, and I'd probably go, you know, I'd probably go to the palace with her and accept it. If she's not, I probably wouldn't. But anyway, it's another story. But, you know, those honors are. And I apologize if you have a BEM, MBE, or anything like that. It's fantastic, and I'll celebrate with you. But they are trivial compared to being part of this big, big story of God. Trivial. You are part of a church that was born and has an eternal flame lit by the Holy Spirit, and you're following the gospel truth, a good news that will never fade or faint. You're part of a freedom story. You're part of a love story. You're part of something that is real. Love, sacrificial, eternal. You're part of a hopeful story. You're part of something that when everything seems lost and dead, there is life. You're part of that story. So can we stand together as we worship finally with this final song? to receive that honor of being part of God's plan, of being part of God's big story, committing ourselves to being part of this story. And this morning, church, let's light the flame. Let God light the flame in your life, the Spirit of God, to draw you in to this big story right now as we sing this song. And pray also, draw in your family, draw in your friends, your community, into this big story of God. So we're going to sing King of Kings together, proclaim that we are part of God's big story. Amen.